high drop for Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Yes! Unbelievable finish to the Merseyside
Derby! Hello and welcome back to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton. My name's Thomas, joined again by Terry McAllister from the Toffee Blues and once again by Charlie Gregory from Manchester Evening News, who's joined us again to talk a bit more about the Salford result last night. Of course, second round of the Carabao Cup. Early lead with Michael Keane kind of 9 minutes in. Game kind of went into a bit of a lull from there, but picked up again in the second half. Ended up being a 3-0 win. Glad to see us in, well, I say it in the hat for the next round. We know who we'll get already because they do these pre-draws, which I never really get. But against Fleetwood in the next round, happy to go through. Very rotated squad. I think it was 10 changes in the end. So pleased to get through in the end. But I'll come to Charlie first. What were your kind of, you know, initial thoughts about the game?
I thought it was an interesting one, really. I think from the lineups, obviously, as you say, it was quite rotated from Everton. So there was a few inexperienced players, but also a blend with some that you could almost call veterans of the game. You know, your Theo Walcotts that have got nearly 400 Premier League appearances. So I think it was quite nicely balanced. Salford lined up strong, plenty of experience of their own in there. I think they put on a decent show of themselves. I feel like 3-0 potentially might have flattered Everton, even though Everton hit the woodwork about 15 times. It was definitely an interesting game to watch.
I was pleased in the end because when Michael Keane scored that early goal, I was like, yeah, but then when we score early goals, it doesn't necessarily go well because you do have to, like, then you have that lead for a very long time. Terry, what were your thoughts about the game in general?
Yeah, I think Charlie's right there. I think the scoreline flattered us a little bit. We spent large portions of the game just sort of labouring and playing quite slow and, you know, within ourselves. But I think it's fair to say Salford probably played a little bit within themselves. Like, every time they'd get forward, they'd sort of, you know, they'd panic a little bit and, like, try and force it. Wouldn't wait for an opportunity to form or a good pass to be on. So it was one of those games where I think the lack of crowds really suited Everton, because in that second half before the second goal, I think the way we were playing, the crowd would have started getting on the back of the players, and that may have also buoyed the Salford players if it had have happened, but obviously that, you know, didn't happen. And once the second goal went in, obviously Everton started to loosen up then, and, you know, we got better combinations going and we started to look like the better team then, but for large spells of the game, it was very even. And the senior fringe players at Everton, I don't think have done anything to give Carlo Ancelotti any selection headaches going forward. I think we know now that there's very much a first 11 at Everton. There's a system that they're going to play at Everton, which we saw again, but with different players, the 4-3-3. And it's just going to be the 11 that started at Tottenham. And probably the teenagers, the only ones who really acquitted themselves last night, because the Walcotts, the Bernards, even the Tom Davises, but some of those players mentioned have played, you know, in World Cups for their country, and not just any good, like Brazil, England, and they just didn't do anything in the game. So, you know, like Bernard played okay, but he didn't stand out and make you think, oh, he's got to play next game.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed with a couple of players, but we're going to get into that later. I think it's better we start off with the positives more than anything. In terms of the crowd, I completely agree. I mean, was it Towell who had a couple of chances? I think when they pulled it back and he kind of bled one over the bar. There's one where Ian Henderson had a header. Salford definitely, they had a couple of chances where they could have scored, really. And I mean, it kind of made sense. We did have, I mean, Luca Dean at centre-back, but to be fair, he did quite well. I can't really criticise him too much for playing in a position that he didn't play in. But Charlie, what did you think about Salford's chances? Were there a couple where you maybe expected a goal in the end? Because chances were definitely coming at one point.
I think if you look at this game purely on the statistics or the highlights, you would have thought that Salford did absolutely nothing. And to be fair, they had a lot of possession in that second period especially, but it didn't really convert into clear-cut chances, unfortunately. There were a couple, like say with Richie Towell, who was sort of advancing from deep, where he probably could have done better. And if he'd have got a goal at a certain stage, well, when it was 1-0 down, then it would have been a completely different tie. But it was just one of them where I think it was the quality in the final third. And as Terry said, maybe a little bit panicked when they did get to those good positions. Maybe on another day, it would have been a different story, but on a big occasion like this, it was just that composure and quality in the final third that was the real difference.
Yeah, and then I'll come to you, Terry, because we'll start off with Everton standout performers, because there was definitely a couple down the left-hand side that I'm sure you'll name, but who were your standout performers in the match last night?
Well, Niels Nkunku impressed everyone, didn't he? He looked the part, especially going forward. You know, his pace and his trickery was fantastic. Every time he got himself in dangerous positions, he got away from his marker. Anthony Gordon grew into the game. He was good in the first half, but then got really good in the second half. Michael Keane played all right. He didn't really have to exert himself, but he looked a class apart from the rest of the team and the rest of the players and the opposition team, rather. He looked like what he is. He's a current England international, and he wasn't really uncomfortable at any point. Luca Dean, obviously, as well, France international, playing out of position, but he wasn't put under any pressure. I thought that Salford might have played on him a little bit when he went in there, and I think, I don't know the guy's name, but just before the second goal, they were going to bring a very, very large, strong-looking striker on. I think that may have been what they were going to do. Start hitting him and having him play against Luca Dean. But, yeah, Dean, Keane, and the two down the left were the ones who really excelled. I think Nkunku, you know, he was brought in to play in the under-23s. I think, you know, everyone can see now from the pre-season games and from this game, yeah, he's not going to be doing that. He's going to go straight in at the first-team level and deputise for Luca Dean. He looks a bargain.
Yeah, Charlie, do you agree? Because, of course, Charlie was actually at Goodison Park, so he might have had a slightly different view of the players, but what did you think?
No, I think they were exceptional, both Nkunku and Gordon. You know, they were giving Oscar Threlkeld, Salford's right-back, an absolute torrid evening. He'll be having nightmares for days, I can guarantee it. Threlkeld wasn't really getting too much support from the other Salford players on that right-hand side, so the overlap that Nkunku was offering every single time was... It just kept being used and exploited, and that's where I think Everton had most of their joy. I do think it's quite interesting, though, that the two most threatening players in that Everton team were Nkunku and Gordon. You know, you're looking at an attack that's got Moise Keane and Theo Walcott, and there's Kilfy Sigurdsson, who was influential from midfield, I must say, but I don't think they had as direct an impact as the two left-sided youngsters did. So I think it's a testament to those guys, but also maybe not the best sign for the more experienced players.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much nailed our squad on the head there. I mean, we've got a lot of those kind of players who you'd expect to put in a very good performance in a game like last night against lower league opposition, and then they don't. I thought Walcott was really poor. I mean, he really didn't do much at all, had very little impact. Then in terms of Salford standouts, we can definitely talk about, I'll come to Charlie first. I was very impressed with the keeper. I know you actually mentioned him before we went into the game and said he should maybe be looking after him, made a couple of good saves. Was he maybe your standout performer as well?
Yeah, probably, yeah. You know, that there's the save from Bernard to sort of tip it past the post, and then I think it was from Walcott from close range. You know, shot stopping wise, it's probably championship quality. You know, how on earth Salford have managed to convince him to come and play in League Two is beyond me. You know, he keeps showing every single game that he is a very good goalkeeper, and he'll put in 8 9s out of 10s every single week. So, yeah, I think he kept Salford in it at times where they were at risk of really slipping out of the game. You know, he didn't play against Manchester United under 21s when they were on the wrong side of an absolute hammering. And I think the fact that he was in yesterday sort of showed that you need those quality keepers in these games to really sort of keep your hopes alive, really.
Yeah, and then it's not always great to dwell on the players that didn't do so well, but I think we're going to have to. I'll come to Terry first. For me, actually, I'll just kick things off. Moise Keane, I was very disappointed with. I know he ended up getting the goal in the end from the penalty, but it's not like he really had anything to do with that. After that, he actually had a couple of chances where he hit the post. So after the penalty, he kind of grew in confidence. But for the majority of the game, I was quite disappointed with him. Terry, what were your thoughts on, well, Keane and maybe some other players you weren't impressed with last night?
Well, Keane's the main one, isn't he? He was shocking, like, for most of the game. Like, it is, every second touch was a tackle. He was missing sitters. You know, that header he put onto the crossbar. He had a free header in the box from an absolutely brilliant cross from Gylfi Sigurdsson. Obviously, he's standing right on the spot, and that's, you know, I like that from a striker. You know, he needs a goal, he wants a goal. I'm having this penalty. So he comes away from the game with the goal, move on, play better next time. But he needs to be grasping these chances. You see how well Dominic Calvert-Lewin is, you know, it was played against Spurs, and it's, we look like we're going to play with a front three now. So he's literally competing with Calvert-Lewin for the starting spot. There's not two striker roles anymore if we're going to stick with this formation. And he just didn't do anything. He should be coming into this game, you know, Italy international, you know, and just bullying Salford's defence. And Salford didn't really have a hard time with Keane all night. Like, the only after the goal, when I think Salford's heads dropped a little bit, you know, because, you know, they worked hard all night, and then the game got a little bit away, you got away from them. That's when you started to see a little bit better from Moyes Keane, but it wasn't enough. He was very poor. But to be honest, I think the other players, it was the ones who didn't perform. It wasn't so much that they all played badly. It was just like, yeah, these aren't grasping this opportunity. Like, Jonjo Kenny didn't do anything particularly wrong. But with regards to the first 11 players, he's probably got the weakest sort of link in the chain. He's got the best chance of breaking in. Like, Anthony Gordon, you know, could play as well as he liked. He's very, very unlikely to displace Richarlison if he's fit. Whereas if Jonjo Kenny turns it on and makes a case, you know, he makes a case for himself, Carlo Ancelotti's got a decision to make, because Seamus Coleman, you know, isn't as good going forward as he used to be. So Kenny could have took his chance last night, and he didn't. He played very much within himself. Didn't really make an impression for me. And obviously the rest speak for themselves. You know, Walcott, Bernard played okay, but, you know, didn't rip up any trees. And Tom Davis was Tom Davis. Didn't do anything wrong, but he's clearly not going to start if the other players are fit either.
Yeah, I think it's just our luck. To be fair, we get two really good youth players come in last night, really impressed, and probably our two strongest positions in the squad that are probably, you know, least likely to be replaced, which is what it is. I mean, it's good competition for Luke Jardine and Richarlison, but I mean, sadly, our two standout performers were in positions we're already pretty sorted in. Charlie, who were you kind of disappointed with last night from an Everton perspective?
Well, I think I'd agree with Terry as well. I mean, I was looking forward to seeing Moyes Keane, because when he first came to the club, I thought it was a real coup for Everton, because obviously a Juventus starler, you know, he's scored quite a few goals in a short space of time for them. But it just doesn't seem to have worked out. And you could tell from last night that his confidence is absolutely shot. And that's something that Leon Osman said to me when we were queuing for the toilets at half-time as well. He said, the ball just keeps bouncing off him. You know, he can't get it in. He was trying to grab the game by the scruff of the neck, but it just wasn't really working for him. When he hits the bar with his header from, I think it was a Sigurdsson cross, we even mentioned it in commentary. You know, if this is a Premier League game, you get those chances, you know, two, maybe three times in the whole 90 minutes. So you've got to be scoring them if that was against, I don't know, like a Liverpool or a Manchester City. So, yeah, it was really poor from him. It literally was either side of the keeper, and it's a guaranteed goal from that area. So, yeah, I thought Keane was disappointing. Obviously, we mentioned Walcott as well. I really thought somebody of his ability and his experience would be able to exploit that Salford back line. You know, we're talking about Ibu Toure, who was 2 years ago in the National League North, and, you know, Jordan Turnbull, formerly of Northampton. You know, these are players that you can really get at, you know, if you're an FA Cup winner and, like I say, 400 Premier League appearances, but they just didn't seem to really threaten too much at all. I know it's a 3-0 scoreline, but I expected players like Keane and Walcott to be far more influential than they actually were.
Yeah, because it's a strange, like, phenomenon with Moyes Keane, where when he starts, I mean, barring last night, when he starts, he always looks a lot better, because when he comes on as a sub, maybe in the last 10, 15 minutes, he a lot of the time he looks like he's trying too hard and trying to do everything at one time and it doesn't work. But he seemed to kind of just chase the game last night, and I was disappointed, because if there was ever a game where you really come into it, you know, you give Ancelotti, you know, a problem now, as Terry mentioned, you're only competing with Calvert-Lewin for the one striker position. he just didn't do it at all, because he still looks like he's trying far too hard. Constantly, you know, just running around, kind of just chasing lost balls, things like that. And it's just disappointing to see, because he's not the same player as Calvert-Lewin. He's a lot more, you know, skillful. He prefers to, you know, be on the ball. But he didn't show any of those qualities last night. I was very disappointed with him. I agree with Walcott as well. I mean, I'm not really sure what we do with Walcott. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's only around the squad really because he's the only kind of out-and-out right winger that we've got. I mean, we can say Hammers is going to play there now, but Walcott is the only traditional right winger we've got. He also probably brings some experience on the training ground, but he's really poor. And I was actually really disappointed with Tom Davis last night. I really don't understand still what he's meant to be doing, because he hasn't developed much since he kind of broke out against Manchester City. And when he's on the ball, he doesn't look like a Premier League player at all. So I think he needs a loan, if anything. Some people said that he might be a squad player. I'm not sure that would necessarily have much value. I think he'd be much better served going to the Championship, playing football on a loan, then coming back. But it just depends. It's up to the management, really. But that's pretty much it for me. I mean, we could talk about the goals, but I mean, one's a set piece, one's a penalty, and one's a pullback. I mean, Terry, do you want to talk us through the goals? Do you have any thoughts on them at all?
The second one was a big relief, because I started to get that fear, those jitters before that second goal. I was like, oh, this. Forgive me, I can't remember his name. I retained it last night, but I saw that big striker about to come on and was like, oh, no, here we go. And the set it goes in as he's on the touchline waiting to come on. And I was like, thank God for that. But other than that, no, you know, not much you can say about the goals, really, is there?
Yeah. Charlie, what's kind of... I mean, we spoke about the reaction from Salford, but what's kind of next for Salford now? Is it promotion now that you're looking to, now you're out of this competition as well?
Yeah, I think you never want to go and lose a game, but I feel like in reflection of last night, Graham Alexander won't be too disappointed. I mean, speaking to him on the touchline after the game, he wasn't his normal sort of downbeat self after a loss. I think they sort of reflected themselves in a positive light. It was a display that they can be proud of, and yeah, like I say, it's about going into Grimsby now over the weekend, which is another away trip on Saturday. It's all about getting 3 points in that and then pushing on this season, because like I said to you in the preview, Graham Alexander said we're not going to win the Carabao Cup, it's all about our league form, and that's certainly the priority. And I think you can take a lot of confidence into that game on Saturday from last night, because they really didn't disgrace themselves at all. You know, there were periods in that second half where, you know, they'd kept it compact at the back and were really dominating in that midfield third. And going back to what you're saying about Tom Davis, you know, I think it was Davis, Sigurdsson and Bernard almost in a midfield three at times. And they were almost getting bullied off the ball by Salford's midfield. And there really wasn't that golfing class that you'd expect from Premier League to League Two. So I think it's testament to how disciplined Salford were last night.
Yeah, so there you have it. Thank you very much to Terry and Charlie for coming on. Another extra time video on the chat today, and possibly for the first time ever, this is the third extra time in a row when we're all in a very good mood. Everton have won their first home league game of the season against newly promoted West Brom. Joining me today to dissect the game is Terry McAllister and Owen Parks. Another brilliant performance in the end, a bit shaky for the first 20 minutes, and I'm sure we're going to get into that now, but I'll come to you first, Owen. What were your kind of just general thoughts on the game as a whole?
I'm pleased with the result, but I still think I'm more pleased by the fact that I feel like we haven't even hit our best form yet for 90 minutes. I think that's a real positive. I think Everton of old, I think even with that red card, if they go down 2-2 yesterday, they probably don't win the game because they can't break them down. They had a bit of a siege mentality where they thought they'd just go around kicking people, which I was a big fan of, to be honest, but I think that's all they had. But I was really pleased with the results. I think personally they're in big trouble because I don't see how they're going to stop them goals going in. But from Everton's point of view, it was just another pleasing performance. The quality level of the team has gone from like there to there in like a matter of weeks, and that's pretty mad to say, considering we've only got three new players. But I think all in all, I'm really pleased, top of the league.
Yeah, Terry, do you agree with all that?
Yeah, I mean, I was watching yesterday. If that game had ended at half-time, I'd have been ashamed. I'd have been like, the best team's lost here. Because the West Brom had clearly, credit where it's due, done their homework on Everton. They were playing in that sort of pocket of space behind James and leaving Coleman and Mina exposed. I mean, Mina was diabolical, wasn't he, yesterday? I mean, usually a big fan of Mina, but he was awful. And I think they had the best of the game. But unfortunately for them, unfortunately for us, they just didn't have a player like James Rodriguez. He was the difference between the two teams. Obviously, then you get the red cards, and you know it's cut and dry. The red card. It's, you know, it's a moment of madness. He's been rattled by James bumping into him, and he just conceded a goal. He's lashed out. He's got to go. Don't particularly agree with Bilic being sent off. I don't know. You know, I don't agree with what he was saying, but he shouldn't have been sent off. I didn't agree when Ancelotti got sent off after the Man United home game last year. Mm. The manager has a right to talk to the referee. The referees, or at least he should do anyway, unless they're being abusive, which, you know, he was on camera, he clearly wasn't.
Yeah, that's the problem at the moment, though, isn't it? Because referees have spoken about how managers are meant to approach them in the tunnel, but of course, at Goodison, you get changed in the car park. Like, there's no way Bilic could have approached him anywhere other than there. So, yeah, I agree, he shouldn't have been sent off, but I mean,
yeah.
The fact that you were saying that Richarlison fouled their defender, but I didn't
agree personally with his gripe, but he shouldn't have been sent off for me. Obviously, Gibbs should have. Then obviously we come back and out in the second half. You know, we're sleeping. We're not at it the second we come out, and they get the free kick. Great free kick. Yerry Mina again, awful game. Doesn't jump in the wall. Pickford. I think it's a bit harsh to like, you know, say he could have done better with the free kick. He maybe could have, but I don't think that was the problem. I think it was Mina. Because if Mina jumps, he probably gets his head on that. Then about 60 minutes, 65 minutes, we score the goal. And the air completely goes out to West Brom and we just start controlling the game. Then the difference between the first 60 minutes and the last half an hour was unbelievable. Like, we absolutely ran the show after that. Like, James Rodriguez is just, the West Brom players are playing checkers and he's playing 4D chess. He's just an absolute revelation. Like, every time he gets it, like, there was so many, like, balls he played that didn't end up in goals that I just, like, there was one where he played Luka Dean through and it just bounced off the side of Luka Dean's boots and it goes through the eye of a needle past two players. And I just think, this player's going to get some assists this season. Not, don't even think about his goals, the assists he's going to get. If we can start slotting, you know, carry on slotting the goals in. Yeah, brilliant after that. Like, made up for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. It's probably the scruffiest hat-trick you'll ever see, but they all count, so made up for him. Michael Keane back on the score sheet. Obviously, he's the pub quiz question. Who scored in the James Rodriguez debut goal game? And Calvert-Lewin scored an hat-trick. Rodriguez scored the other. Who was the other one? Michael Keane. But, Richarlison as well. I think he had a good game. He's just trying to force the goal. He wants to get on in the action. He scored a great goal, but it was just offside. He just timed his run a little bit wrong. And yeah, brilliant. Another, you know, top of the league, 5-2. You know, correct. Poor defensive performance, but they corrected it with the attacking performance. There's, you know, there's things you can take on both sides from the game, but great results and a great performance from the hour mark onwards.
Yeah, we'll go with the first 20 minutes first because it did look a bit shaky for a moment. Of course, Dejan Carner kind of just raced forwards, no pressure on him at all. I want to come to Owen here because Terry's just kind of spoken about it there. Who are you kind of blaming for that first goal? And I mean, maybe even that free kick as well, which obviously came later. But we spoke about Mina. I don't think Pickford's position was great either, but where were the problems coming on their first goal?
I think by the time it got in, it was Mina's fault, but I think it comes from losing the ball high up the pitch and overcommitting. But that happens sometimes when you're trying to get an early goal, but I think Mina should just take him out, to be honest. I think he just backs off and backs off. And then Pickford, I think Pickford thinks it's going wide. To be honest, I weren't really convinced by his sort of dive to try and get it. I think, to be fair to the lad though, Dejan Carner, I think that was a great goal. I think he took the ball really well. I mean, that's the only thing he did in about the 60 minutes he was on the pitch, but fair play to him, that was a great goal. But I think it was just I think with Alan, I think especially, I think it's not his fault to go, but sometimes with him being our only defensive shield, when he presses up like that, there's just a huge space in behind us. Mina should take him out, really, but good goal. But I think we're going to need to be a lot tighter and a lot more resolute next week.
Yeah, because it's interesting you mentioned Alan there, because I saw a bit of talk on Twitter about it. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on this, Terry, because obviously he is kind of being asked to play that. Well, when we're playing a 4-3-3, he is kind of asked to play that deeper role, but he does like to, you know, close a man down, chase the game almost. Well, he doesn't chase the game, because once he's there, he makes it tackles. But what were your thoughts, Terry, on generally Alan yesterday? And Decore, you can add him in as well, because both, again, had their quiet games, but they are unbelievable players for us. Like, they don't, like, steal the headlines or anything, but I was very impressed with them both again.
Yeah, they've made such a difference, haven't they? Like, obviously, it's not perfect, yeah. I think Decore wasn't as good as he was the week before, but I don't think he had a bad game by any stretch. But and Alan as well. Alan's really, really underrated player, isn't he? Like, he's made as much of a difference as James Rodriguez, but he just doesn't get the headlines. It'll be appreciated by our fans, because we love a player like that, but, like, the Match of the Day, Sky Sports, they won't acknowledge him as much as, you know, the nicer on the eye stuff like Rodriguez. Just really good buys. They look like really good players who slotted in seamlessly, and just they've made other players play better around them. Andre Gomez has started playing well again, because he's in a three and half because he's got better players around him. I know Owen will probably
play well yesterday. He didn't.
He's playing better though, I think. But and crucially, I think Sigurdsson's playing better now. I don't know whether that's the formation change or whether that's the better players around him, but or whether it's just as I've got to pull my finger out now because I'm not going to get on this pitch unless I'm contributing. But when he came on, he played really well.
I think the thing is with Sigurdsson, both times we've seen him, well, I mean, obviously we saw him for a bit against Spurs. I didn't think he was great, but saw him against Salford dominating the ball. We saw him yesterday come on to dominate the ball. We know he can, you know, he can do well when he's on the ball. It's when he's being asked to pretty much do absolutely anything else, that's when he crumbles. But Owen, you got some thoughts on Andre Gomez there? I couldn't tell by your reaction if you had any, you know, kind of reaction to what Terry said. But what were your thoughts on him yesterday?
I'm completely honest when it comes to Andre Gomez. Last week at Tottenham, I thought he played well. I didn't think he played well yesterday. I thought he left too many gaps. I think there was a time, but I think it might have been the second half, it didn't matter because they were down to 10 men and had nothing left. But the first half, he was just wandering positions, and there was just a big gap in between the core right and where he's supposed to be, and they just kept on playing in it when he played up in the back. I thought, it's going to be in the comments now, but I actually thought Sigurdsson played quite well, to be honest, when he came on. I thought he put in a few good balls. I thought he controlled the ball nicely. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him, if he continues to play like this coming on, if he actually plays over Gomez, and that's going to be sacrilege for some people on Twitter and that. But I actually think he played well.
Yeah, and someone we definitely have to talk about is the man that, in his post-match press conference, Ancelotti compared to Inzaghi, which is not a bad comparison at all for a young striker. Owen, what were your thoughts on Calvert-Lewin yesterday, of course, getting his first Everton hat-trick?
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. I think the most impressive thing with Dom yesterday was, I think he, in the first like 3 minutes, he had that header and he missed it. And I think him of old, or any Everton striker of old really, would have just, they wouldn't have had a kick all game after that. But he just went in and scored the scruffiest hat-trick in history since, I don't know, I don't think there's, he was there, count the fella for Liverpool who scored the hat-trick and they were all on the line and he just put them in. I think it was Man United or something years ago. I think he had a hat-trick and they were all just like on the line and he put them in, but they all count, and I thought he played excellently well. I think what ball helped Dom is the extra creativity he's got in the team with Hammers, obviously with Richarlison creating extra space for him, Decore making late runs, even Gomez keeping the play nice to make space. I think it's all going to benefit him.
Yeah, it's interesting that, because Ancelotti in that same kind of interview after the match said his striker's only meant to have one touch. You know, he clearly knows the exact kind of striker he wants, and I think we've got that in Calvert-Lewin. I mean, he clearly puts in a lot of work in terms of his position on the pitch. I mean, when Richarlison found him after that Rodriguez pass that I'll be dreaming about for the next couple of weeks easily. I mean, when he's there, that's all, you know, hard work that, okay, he's not scoring the the magical goals where he's beating a man, but that's clearly not what Ancelotti wants from him at all. He wants that player who's just going to, you know, have that final tap in. We know we've got Richarlison, a player that's going to want to take on his man and beat him and get him behind. We don't need that from Calvert-Lewin at all. So I'm very pleased to see him doing well. I've always been a big fan of him. I know there's definitely some people, especially in the comments, some people might not like him, despite the fact he scored four goals in two games. Pardon?
They don't know anything about football if they don't rate a striker who's got his goal return. How much would they be willing to pay for a striker who'd score more goals than him? He wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. I really like him a lot. Terry, what were your thoughts on Calvert-Lewin yesterday?
Just vintage Calvert-Lewin, wasn't it? He grafted his ass off. He was won balls in the air. He created space for other players. And when the chances came, he was in the box. He is what he is. Like, people want him to be something he isn't. Like, he gets the ball, and if he's got to take someone on or run in with the ball, forget it. It's not going to do it. Like, he can't take anyone on. That's not his strong suit. But that, you know, he's always in the right place at the right time in the penalty box. He's a nightmare for opposition defenders because he's so energetic and so physical. He is absolutely perfect for the other players we've got either sides of him, Rodriguez and Richarlison. Both feed off him as a player. And now that he's got that creativity, he's scoring goals. He was scoring goals last season as well, since Ancelotti's came in. And it's sort of like a... I listen to other football podcasts, and whenever he comes up, other supporters for the clubs go, I don't get why Everton... They just don't understand why a lot of Everton fans don't like Calvert-Lewin. And I don't either. Like, I understand... I wasn't the biggest fan of him at the time. Like, I thought, I don't see it. When he was under Koeman and stuff. But he was a kid, and he's developed, and he's got better since then, and I'm willing to go, okay, he wasn't good then, I didn't really rate him. And now he's good, and now I do rate him. Like, he's not Lukaku. He's not going to pick the ball up and just, like, storm into the box. But, you know, he's never been that player. You know, no one ever moaned when we had Jelovic scoring goals when he first came in that he didn't pick up the ball deep and create his own chances. Why is it like a problem for Dominic Calvert-Lewin? Is it just because they can't get out of that frame of mind where, you know, they don't rate him, or is it because we didn't pay a lot of money for him? I'm a big fan of Moise Keane, but the people who are like trying to, you know, chew on Moise Keane into our team when he hasn't done anything. And he's not playing well when he comes on. Like, Calvert-Lewin is miles better than Moise Keane, but you wouldn't think so the way some of our fans behave.
Yeah, if there's people who want Moise Keane to start over Calvert-Lewin, I suggest go and watch hockey or something. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, we've got a very good balance in the attack now. I mean, as you mentioned, people are looking, you know, for Calvert-Lewin to be like Lukaku, you know, pick the ball up, like that Chelsea goal in the quarterfinal where he kind of just took on half their defence. We know that's not the player he's got, but we've got Richarlison to do that. We've got Rodriguez on the other side. He's going to find the pass. We've got a very balanced attack now, which is not something we've always had, to be fair. And I think the change in system benefits them all massively. But you mentioned Moise Keane there. Of course, he came on as a substitute, as well as Alex Iwobi. Owen, did you have any thoughts on substitutes in general? Obviously, we've spoken about Sigurdsson, but Iwobi's back. Did he do much for you in the kind of 20 minutes he was on?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Alex Iwobi. I think if he used well, I think he can be a really important player. I think I was really looking for him to come on centrally and start, you know, dictating the play and linking up with Dom, but he played out wide. I thought he did all right. Moise Keane, he didn't really do much apart from that ridiculous thing at the end, but he didn't really have to. The thing with Moise Keane is that he just looks miles off the pace from everyone else on the pitch when he plays, but lost cause. But if people think, honest to God, if people think he should be starting over Dom, I really suggest you don't watch football, because it's just night and day the difference between the two of them.
Yeah, Terry, what were your thoughts? Were you impressed with the Wobby when he came on?
Impressed or unimpressed, he didn't really do a lot, did he? He wasn't like particularly bad either. First game back after a little injury, first game of the season for him. It's going to be interesting to see how much he gets used, because obviously we've got that three-man midfield now, and they've, you know, very distinct sort of templates for each player. You know for a fact that, you know, when Gbaman comes back, who he's going to be, you know, coming in for when he comes on the pitch. Sigurdsson seems to have, like, you know, carved himself like it's going to be him or Gomez. That, you know, like, mostly. I know he came on for Takore yesterday, but it's going to be Sigurdsson and Gomez for that attacking member of the three. It's going to be Gbamon with Allen, or as well as Allen, if you want to go a little bit more defensively. Iwobi, don't really know where he's going to play because he came on yesterday for Richarlison, but I think as the season goes on, I think we may see Anthony Gordon going in there as the second choice to Richarlison. Obviously, it didn't work like that yesterday, but it's a long season, and Anthony Gordon's a young player. I think if we would get money for Iwobi, I think we'd probably get a lot more money for Iwobi if someone was willing to buy him than we would for Sigurdsson. And I think they're both vying for the same positions, really, Sigurdsson and Iwobi. And I think we've got more chance of selling him because he's younger. So don't really see where Iwobi's going to play. If we do end up keeping him and no one comes in for him, I worry that he's going to end up being the right-hand side understudy, you know, like he was at the end of last season. He's going to come in for Rodriguez, which probably won't suit him, but you know, don't think anyone's going to be able to step into Rodriguez's shoes. But anyway, I think Iwobi could have a part to play this season if he stays. I just don't know where it'll be because there's other players even in the second choice slots ahead of him in all the places he plays.
Yeah, so just kind of ran off the video, of course. 6 points in two games, find ourselves top of the table. Next up, we've got Palace. We've got Fleetwood in the cup, but in terms of the league, we've got Palace, then Brighton. Owen, are we looking to really kind of build momentum now? I mean, I'm not saying we're going to win the league by any means, but obviously, really good start, back-to-back wins. Can we just carry on this form? I mean, because then, obviously, we've got the game, fifth or sixth that no one really wants to think about yet, but Palace and Brighton coming up, what are your thoughts on that?
I think we'll beat Brighton, but I think next week will be quite tough because we'll be playing a team that can actually defend and they've got a bit of an attacking threat now this season. I think we can win it because why can't we? We're top of the league and we've beaten everyone easily so far. But that, I think that'll probably be our toughest test so far, just in the way they'll make it difficult for us. But who knows, we can win there. If we get an early goal, we'll win. They score early, it'll be a nightmare, but we'll see.
Yeah, Terry, thoughts going into the next couple of games from here?
Yeah, just echo what Owen said. Like, I think Palace will be tougher. I can't understand how anyone had them to go down before the start of the season. Like,
again, people don't know anything about football, but
no chance. I think we'll have a real test against them. And just because, sorry about that. Next door neighbours mowing the grass, so it would have mowed all over me. Points. I don't see us getting the joy attacking against Palace as we did in the previous two games because, you know, they're not soft. They, you know, McCarthy, you know, their middle three of just destroyers. They're not going to give James Rodriguez an inch of space like Tottenham and West Brom have. So I think we'll be in for a tougher test, and I think it'll be more about other players stepping up. Like, we're going to need to see more from Richarlison maybe, and more from our midfield three in terms of goals, because I think that's where it's going to be crucial, the midfield battle. Brighton, I mean, we're at home. We are at home? I think we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hope and expect to win that. But Palace, I think, would be a tough game because they've started really well and they've got, you know, street smarts, haven't they, compared to other teams?
Yeah, so there you have it. That's our thoughts on the win, 5-2 win against West Brom yesterday. Really good start of the season. Let's hope we can carry on this momentum. Of course, we've got Fleetwood in midweek in the cup. We're going to be previewing that as well. So thank you very much for watching. Check out everyone's social media and join us next time on the Toffee Blues. Everton, welcome back to another match preview. Our second game in the Carabao Cup, into the third round now against Fleetwood, who are in League One. Of course, a bit of a tougher test than Salford. That game ended 3-0. Pretty routine in the end. Couple of shaky moments, but quite easy, quite simple performance. Joining me again, Terry McAllister and Owen Parks. We're going to try and dissect what this game's going to go like, predicted team. We can try and give our thoughts on Fleetwood as well, but sadly, we don't have any Fleetwood experts around, so I'm going to come to Owen first. Are we looking kind of similar rotation against as we did against Salford?
Yeah, I would play the exact same team, to be honest. Maybe it depends though, because I feel like this will be a lot tougher than Salford. I think Salford, as soon as the first goal went in, it was just, if we got a second, it would have been a lot more than three. We'd have got a second straight after the first. I think this game now, I think it's at Fleetwood. I think they'll make it difficult for us. I think Joey Barnes done a decent job at Fleetwood. I think they got to the playoffs last season. Obviously, Wickham beat them, but I look at them and I think they might give us a bit of a game. I'm not really too up on some of their players, but I think, nevertheless, I think they'll look at Everton and think we can beat these. I think if we get an early goal, though, like I say, most games in the Premier League, I think, well, even in the Cup now, I think we should go out and win the game. But I think it'll be much tougher than Fleetwood, Salford, and it'd be nice to get through. But I feel like it'll be more demanding of the group than Salford.
Yeah, Terry, do you agree? You're looking for some amount of rotation to the Salford game?
Yeah, I mean, I was one of the people who was like, play a proper team in the League Cup, like properly go for it, like take no chances. But, you know, Carlo's come out and said, hasn't he, that we're going to use this cup to rest the squad and just going to have to accept that, you know. We should, same as last game, you know, that's only Evertonian nerves that make us feel like that, like, because we've had bad experiences in the past. We should still be able to beat League One teams with you know, international players on the pitch and, you know, players who've played in World Cups like Bernard and Walcott. I think we will see a complete change again. I mean, probably won't at centre-back because we haven't even got Branthwaite now. So Keane will probably start again. And unless we can bring in another centre-back before the weekend, or before the game, sorry, I think we'll probably see Mina as well. And then there's a few players who could come in instead of other players. Like, Iwobi's fit now. I don't know whether, like, Walcott did nothing last game, and I don't really like Iwobi on the right. I don't think he's very good there. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Iwobi on the right over Walcott, because Walcott wasn't even in the squad for the West Brom game. We could. I mean, is he still alive, Fabian Delph?
No, I think Phil Kirkbride mentioned that he's actually going to play. I think because he wasn't in the squad or anything, apparently that Delph's going to come in, same as like Nkunku going, people like that. I don't know if that's confirmed. I'll check that now while you're talking. But yeah, I think Delph might be coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Delph. I don't think anyone does. But I would imagine he'd play because he's far more of a natural centre midfielder than Bernard. I know Bernard played well, but I think Bernard might start on one of the flanks, maybe. The only two I think should be guaranteed the spot of the rotation players should be in Nkunku and Anthony Gordon. I think they were really good down the left. On the right-hand side, I think it's mad to think it's a fight between, you know, Iwobi, Bernard and Walcott. The wages that are going out on them alone, all fighting for one position in the second string, is unbelievable. But yeah, I think we're going to get a tougher test against Fleetwood. I'm not even going to bullshit and pretend I know anything about Fleetwood, but they're a division up from Salford, and we probably will see a more orthodox middle three rather than have Bernard in there, you know, Davies, Sigurdsson and Delph. You know, come on, there's a Premier League title winning medal in there, even though if you got it for participation. You know, there's international players, you know, experienced players should be able to beat them. I want to see more from Moyes Keane, though. He was awful in the Salford game. And that was he's had four starts now. I think it's four. He was poor in two of them, that one and Sheffield United earlier last season, but he was good in the Newcastle and Bournemouth games compared to his substitute appearances. So I want to see him dominate. I want to see him play well. He's an Italy international, like, he's a former Juventus player. He should be able to have the best of Fleetwood Town players, all due respect to Fleetwood. You know, it doesn't always work like that, but that's what I want to see. That's what I think we should see, whether we do or not. I don't know.
Yeah, according to Phil Kirkbride, this was before the game. Yesterday, Lursel's out with a back injury. Somehow he's picked that up. Not sure when. Delph apparently is set to play against Fleetwood. Lewis Gibson's heading on Reddit on loan. Tosin's still injured. Blassie, Besic and Sandro, of course, the club are just looking to sell them, so they're not involved at all. And Kutnu is apparently also going to play versus Fleetwood, and then I presume Anthony Gordon is as well, but that's not confirmed or anything. Gibbaman isn't back until October or November, so I agree with what you're saying about Iwobi. That's probably the only change I'd make, but as well, Moise Keane has to make much vast improvements from what he did against Salford. He really struggled for no apparent reason. He's a much better player than League Two. I mean, that was a bit ridiculous. I'm looking forward to seeing Nkunku and Gordon again. I was disappointed not to see Gordon on the bench, to be fair. I'm not sure how much of a difference it would have made. It's not like we needed him in the end, but it's always good experience. I was a bit disappointed not to see him, but I guess if Ancelotti didn't think he was going to have to use him or use him at any point, there's no point in bringing him, I guess. Iwobi, I want to see, because he's going to need his match fitness. He of course, hasn't played the first two games, only played a bit of yesterday's game. Something that we could definitely talk about as well, because the Fleetwood side are a lot more settled. I understand Salford, they had signed, well, I think there's one player left from in the past two seasons. So obviously, season before last, they got promoted from the National League and they've changed all their players bar from one. So that wasn't a settled squad at all. It was a very new squad. They hadn't played much together. Oh, and do you think this is going to have much bearing on it? Of course, Fleetwood are going to be a lot more organised. They know each other a lot better than the Salford team did.
Yeah, and I think another thing that we're really underestimating here is Joey Barton's ego. He would love to beat a Premier League team, especially Everton, just to say what a great manager he is. I think we're really underestimating that outside impact there. But Everton should be Fleetwood, no problem.
Yeah. Terry, do you think that's going to have an effect with Fleetwood players being more of a squad than the Salford players were? And are we away as well? This is very, I mean, not that away and home makes too much of a difference these days, but it still has some bearing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I expect a much tougher test, and more for the reason Owen said, like, it's Joey Barton, he'll be desperate to beat us just because it's Joey Barton. He wants to have that scalp, doesn't he? But you can never bank on anything. This is what upsets are all about. But if we've got players who, forget the price tags, just international experience and Champions League experience, like Iwobi and Delph and what have you, they should be have enough in the locker to beat, you know, League One opposition, especially when two kids showed a lot of them up last game, where Nkunku and Gordon were the two best players on the pitch by far. I think that's what everyone's looking forward to see, especially Nkunku. We've all got a good look at Gordon, but that was like the first a lot of people had seen of Nkunku, and he was great. So I'm looking forward to seeing him a lot.
Yeah, and of course, if we win this game, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, of course. As we mentioned, cup upsets could still happen. We should win. If we win this game, it's then West Ham or Hull. Owen, are we looking for a bit of a run here if we can get past Fleetwood? Would you expect us to beat both West Ham and Hull? Or how confident are you feeling, well, about this game and then the next game if we get through?
Yeah, well, I think either of them we would beat if we beat Fleetwood. I think Hull, I don't think they won a game for about 7 months last season after Bowen and Grzycki went. And West Ham
beat Leeds on pens. Magic.
Amazing, isn't it? And then I think West Ham, I think, by the way things are going there, I don't think even if they beat Hull, too much will be given to the Carabao Cup, considering the likely position they'll be in by then. So I think as further we go along and the better chance we have, I think it would just be Evan to get to Wembley and no one could go. But I mean, keep winning. I think it's just one game at a time. I think Fleetwood, then Palace, then Brighton, and then just keep going, keep them wins going, especially until the derby.
Yeah, of course, as well, because Wolves are already out. Obviously, they got knocked out. Palace are out, I think. Did they go out to Bournemouth as well?
On pens. Yeah.
Of course, Leeds are out. And, I mean, yes, but I never like us playing against teams like Leeds, especially in cup competitions, you know, the more aggressive sides. But, Terry, are you confident for the next couple of games? If we can win this, are you then confident about the next round? And then, you know, who knows after that?
Win this one first. I'm not talking about the next round, so we're through this. I don't. It's one game at a time, and as Owen said, it's a simple sentence: keep winning, just keep playing, and keep winning, and the rest takes care of itself.
Yeah. So, just to round off, any predictions? Owen, you got any predictions?
I think it'll be. Oh, I don't. I think I'm going to go 2-1, Evan. I was going to say 1-1 and we'll win on pens, but obviously negative.
Of course, Owen, the man who brought us the no one have any shots on target in the Spurs game, of course, that was a legendary prediction.
We obviously overperformed my expectations.
Terry, any predictions?
I'm going to go with same as the last round, 3-1.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to go 2-1 as well. I think it's going to be a much, much tougher test, as we've mentioned. I'm less confident than we are playing against Salford, but as Terry's mentioned, I mean, yeah, we can rotate the squad massively. They're still all a lot better than League One at the end of the day. Sigson should be coming in. He should be that calm head, allegedly, because obviously we'll play a couple of youth players. I'm excited to see Nkunku and Gordon back in the side. That was a good link-up that maybe one day we'll see in the Premier League. But as we've mentioned, very frustrating that probably our two best youth players at the moment are coming in positions where quite sorted in, quite strong. In terms of centre-backs, I'm slightly concerned because, of course, Gibson is off to Reading, so that's probably going to be completed in a matter of days. We really do only have two centre-halves, and I'm not particularly excited to watch one of them get injured again, because then who comes in then? Have we got Luca Dean coming in back in at centre-back? I mean, yes, that worked against Salford, but is it going to work against higher league opposition? We'll definitely have to see, but there are our predictions anyway. Let us know in the comments down below what your thoughts are on the game. Are you confident going into this? Are you a bit nervy? You always have to be going into draws like this. Check out everyone's social media, and thank you very much for watching, and join us next time on the Toffee Blues.